Because besides you, we know there is no other God. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the Ancient of Days, the one who was before anything was. Daddy, we bless you, O God. Lord, you have given us your word for guidance, that your word will be a light for us. Lord, as we look into the word of life today, Lord, may we receive illumination. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, at the entrance of your word this morning, let every darkness in our lives vanish. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Speak to every heart. Amen. Encourage everyone. And Lord, give us a hope and a future anew. Amen. In the blessed name of Jesus, I have prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may please be seated. God bless you. Please put your hands together for the choir. Hallelujah. Awesome choir. We bless the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we had a very, very wonderful convention. If you were at the convention and you were blessed, shout hallelujah. It really was an awesome time. The pavilion was dedicated to the glory of God. And I just couldn't stop talking about the fact that you feel a sense of pride in belonging to something noteworthy like this. Praise the Lord. And the first phase of the pavilion, when it's completed, the first phase is completed right now. As it is right now, it can seat 10,000 people. And the goal is, when it is all said and done, it's going to seat 1 million people. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. You know, something happened that really encouraged me, and I pray it will encourage you as well. You know, many times when we look around, you see that majority of people that you know and associate with are what you can call the average people. Praise the Lord. So, a lot of times when you think, you tend to think average. Because everything you know and you're familiar with is average. But at the convention, they were, you know, raising offering to do certain things. Because I met it in the middle. We were busy with registration. Anyway, they were raising an offering. And still talking about the token that Dr. Bode was talking about earlier. He said, you have to give your token. And he said, the first category of people I am inviting forward to give their token are those that will give $100,000 and up. In fact, he barely finished the sentence when this young man walked out in his jersey shirt. You know, I'm like, did he hear the thing very well? You know, with his muscles and everything, I'm like, bro, it's $100,000. Anyway, he stood very boldly and confidently, and a few people joined him, and they were prayed for. And as soon as they were prayed for, he told the man of God, said, please give me a second, I'll be right back. He went and came back with the check for $100,000. I said, well, it looks like some people have been saving up for a particular day. No. It's because God has, amen, amen. It's because God has done certain things in his life that has enabled him to do such a thing. If I say I need everybody to please come forward with $10, I'm pretty sure many of us will come forward. In fact, if there's somebody sitting next to you that can't afford the $10, you can afford to give them $10, say, go give your own too. Praise the Lord. But what am I saying this morning? God will surprise you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Friends, let me tell you something. Your attitude determines how high you're going to rise in life. You know, when you hear something like that, say, oh, what a waste. It means it's very, very unlikely that you you will ever be able to do that. Before you can give $100,000 in an offering that you didn't plan for, it's not something they've been talking about for 5 years. You know, you just walked in for convention. You just strolled in for convention, casually. The example I used to give was someone that came from Nigeria on vacation in America. You know, and he said, "Oh, whoa, Koye, I like this new R-Class Mercedes-Benz. I would like to buy it. Look for the price for me." I looked for the price. It was 50,000 plus. He said, "I like it." And right, he came on vacation from Nigeria. And he bought it and put it on the ship to meet him in Nigeria. That used to amaze me. But this is another level. He came for convention. He came for convention. And at the convention, he gave an offering of $100,000. That will soon be you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Friends, that is not covetousness. When you desire to give to the Lord, there's nothing covetous about it. Praise the Lord. You know, I've said that will be you like 4 or 5 times. So that will be me. And that will be me. And that will be me. So that in this anointing, as I'm saying it for you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The next couple of months will be very exciting here in Salvation Center by the grace of God. Over the summer, starting from July, we're going to be talking about the parables of the kingdom, of heaven. So we'll talk about the parable of the sower, the tares and the wheat, mustard seed, leaven, hidden treasure, pearl of great price, dragnet in the sea, and the householder. So on Sundays, we'll be dealing with the parables of the kingdom of heaven. And you can do a study ahead, start reading Matthew chapter 13. That is where we're going to pitch our tent for the next couple of months. After next Sunday, we'll start from July. And on Tuesdays, Digging Deep, we're going to be reviewing the Bible. You know, the Bible series that has been on History Channel for some time. Well, we'll be doing that on Tuesdays. And we're going to do it in a fun way. There will be popcorn, there will be soda, but it's not going to be in the sanctuary. I'm going to work with technical. We're going to have it on that side. You know, we keep the sanctuary. No M&Ms? Okay. Sister Alexis will be donating M&Ms for the rest of us to eat. She's the queen. She's the queen of M&Ms. Praise the Lord. You know, so invite your friends, invite your colleagues, invite your family members. It's going to be an awesome time. And the July Festival of Life, we've not had Festival of Life for some time now. It's been one thing or the other. In May, we were in Austin. In June, we had the anniversary celebration, so we couldn't have it. But July 5th, we're going to be having the Festival of Life. And the Festival of Life this time is going to be a little different. We're going to focus more on praise and prayer. And then we'll be taking the communion. Somebody was asking me, he said, "Pastor, we have not had the communion." I said, "Yes, it's because usually we have the communion at the Festival of Life." So Festival of Life, July 5th. Please mark your calendars. July 5th is going to be from 8 p.m. to 12 midnight by the grace of God. Praise the Lord. So now we go into the word. Today, I'll be talking to us on what I have simply titled vision. Vision. Vision is a very, very important part of every human life. Vision, in simple terms, is the ability to see. Praise the Lord. But the vision that I'm talking about is the vision for life. And vision for life really transcends visual acuity. There are many people with 20/20 sight. They can see, their eyes can see, they are sharp. They don't need glasses like myself. Actually, my distant sight, my far-sightedness is 20/20. It's just the near one that is failing me. And I've been pushing paper forward. I realized that I can't push it past the length of my arm. So I have to use this now. You know, but vision that we're talking about is vision for life. And this vision, like I said, transcends visual acuity. I'm not talking about 2020 vision. Someone said that eyes that look are common, but eyes that see are rare. Praise the Lord. It means when you begin to see the invincible, when you begin to see things that are not apparent to all, now we're talking about the kind of vision that I'm talking about. Miles Monroe, in his book called Vision, said the poorest person in the world is the man without a dream or purpose. But there's a little addition that I have to that. You know, the man without the poorest man in the world is not the man that lacks clothing. It's not the man that lacks food. It's not the man that lacks money. It's the one that lacks vision. Because when you have vision, vision will propel you and project you to places that you have not imagined, in the mighty name of Jesus. So it does today, as we go through this, I want us to settle a few things. It really does not matter where you are in your journey of life, whether you're young or old. I want you to sit back and, you know, kind of follow along to see and to hear what the Lord is saying to us today. If you are further along in age, there's always an opportunity for you to recalibrate and refire, even for a great and a fulfilling future, in the mighty name of Jesus. So, what then is vision? What then is vision? I simply describe vision as the eyes of your destiny. Praise the Lord. The eyes of your destiny. If you are going to accomplish and fulfill destiny in life, you need vision. And the vision that I'm talking about, again, is not sight. Remember, well, not many of us were there. At the service of songs, I was telling us about Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby was blind, but Fanny Crosby had great vision. Praise the Lord. She wrote so many wonderful hymns that we still sing till today. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, was written by Fanny Crosby. Praise the Lord. So, vision is what gives direction to destiny. Vision is like the rudder that steers the ship of your life. Hallelujah. Vision is that is the steering wheel of your destiny. Vision is the ability to see things before they exist. So you already saw it before it came to physical manifestation. There's a story about Disney, Walt Disney. They said, there's this, I've never been to Disney, but I'll go someday. Every summer, I say we are going this summer. Maybe we will still go this summer. But they said Walt Disney had a vision for one of the theme things it has on the at the Disney World, at the mountain. If you have been there, there's something, the mountain there. You know, I've not seen it, but I've read about it. And he called an architect and described exactly what he saw in his heart. He described it to the architect. The architect drew it, and he said, yes, that's exactly what I want. Unfortunately, before the thing was built and dedicated, Disney died. Walt Disney died. And at the opening, you know, people were speaking, you know, so there was the MC that was introducing the wife to come and speak at the event, said it's unfortunate that Walt did not live to see the mountain that was built. And when the wife got to the podium, she took the microphone from him and said, point of correction, as a matter of fact, Walt saw it. That is why we can see it today. Vision is the ability for you to see what does not exist. When you look at dictionary for the definition of vision, vision is also defined as the ability to envisage. What does it mean to envisage? It means to be able to contemplate and conceive of as a possibility or a desirable future event. Form a mental picture of something not yet existing or known. So when you have a vision for something, a vision that is specific and individual to you, a lot of time will be something that does not exist. One of the reasons people get frustrated with vision is exactly that fact. Because you are describing to people what does not exist. And when they look at you, they tell you are cuckoo head. So that is not possible. You cannot accomplish that. They tell you it is impossible for that to be done. But vision is what gives energy in life. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18, very, very popular scripture. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18. Say, where there is no vision, the people perish. Say, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I'm going to read two other translations to you, the Message translation and the New Living translation. The Message translation reads like this. It says, if you can't see what God is doing, if people cannot see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. They stumble all over themselves. You read the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation reads like this. It says, when people do not accept divine guidance. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. So vision, in your context and in my context, as children of God, vision can be described as divine guidance. God is showing you things that are not apparent to everybody else. But because you are looking at somebody else and not looking at what God is showing you, you make mistakes in life. Do you have the slide ready? The PowerPoint? Yes, let's roll with the PowerPoint. This is just something I saw and I think this will interest you. The wisdom in hot chocolate. Next, please. Next slide. Just click on it. Just click. 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 Okay. I'll tell you the story. I wanted you to read along. So the story is this. A group of students that went to the same college, they gathered together and they were fondly remembering one of their professors at the university. So they decided to go visit their professor. So when they got there, each person was griping and whining and complaining about their lives and their experiences. And as they were doing this, the professor listened to them. He listened to all their complaints about life. And afterwards, he asked them if they would want hot chocolate. They all said yes. So what he did was he went and he got different kinds of glass cups for them. He got some real fancy, pricey ones. And then he got some real cheap ones. And he put the cups on the table. And the hot chocolate was in a container. So each of them picked a cup to drink their chocolate in. And as they settled down to talk, he began to use what they just did to teach them life lessons. So here's what happened. Each and every one of them, without exception, picked a pretty nice, expensive cup to drink their hot chocolate. Every single one of them ignored the cheap cups that were left on the table. So he said to them, he said, life is like that hot chocolate. And God is the one that brews the chocolate. So there's no problem with the chocolate. The chocolate we all drink is the same. He said, but the cup we choose to drink it from is what creates frustration and depression in life. And he said, I've been watching all of you. Since you've been drinking this hot chocolate from your cup, you have been looking at the other person's cup. It looks like her cup is better than my cup. What that means is you have lost sight of the vision of God for your life, and what you are now doing is you are comparing yourself with somebody else and you are measuring your life by another life to determine whether you are a success or you are a failure. The chocolate that they were drinking is not different. There is a vision that God has for your life. And there is a duty and a necessity upon your life to know exactly what it is that God has for you to do. So therefore, vision is the ability for you to see what God wants to accomplish through your life. If I ask you today, what exactly is it that God is attempting to accomplish with your life? What would your answer be? Vision sees things that do not exist as of yet. And when you share about your vision, because it doesn't exist yet, people, they will think there's something wrong with you. Can you imagine some of the things that are very common to us today? Like a telephone. Think about the invention of a telephone when there was no telephone at all. There's a man by the name Alexander Graham Bell that thought it is possible for us to convert sound waves into electrical impulses that can be transmitted over wire and will sound as a voice on the other end. Everyone said, this guy is crazy. He said, too much reading has messed up with your brain. I praise the Lord. He said, too much science has messed up your head. But today, we can't even live without a phone. I praise the Lord. Even in the church, you see people, the telephone is ringing. Hello, hello, hello. Okay, well, I'm in church. I'll call you right back. I wonder what we did before the advent of cell phones. How exactly did we live? How come we didn't die without cell phones? I remember the first cell phones that they were using back where I'm from in Nigeria. They were heavy. Hello? Something to that effect. You know, and it was for the big boys. But today, I want to believe almost everybody here has a cell phone. So what I'm saying to us today is God has a vision for your life. And there is something that God is attempting to show you in particular right now that is not common to all men. In Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 1, Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says when the captives gathered together by the river, Ezekiel saw differently from everybody else. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 1. At least you can do the scripture. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Sheba, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. My prayer for you today is that the heavens over you will open, and you will see visions of God. You will see visions of the things that God wants to accomplish in and through your life. I tell you, the most frustrating thing in life is running another man's race. When you are running another man's race, you will ultimately be frustrated. When you are trying to be somebody else that God has not created you to be, you will ultimately run into frustration. The Bible says every single one of them, including Ezekiel, was a captive. They were all slaves, but all of a sudden, levels changed. All of a sudden, your level will change. The Bible says he began to see visions of God. When you read in Ezekiel chapter 2, the Bible says, and the Spirit lifted him. Even though he was amongst the slaves, he was removed from amongst the slaves. He began to travel and God was showing him wonderful things. And he was looking from above and looking down at the slaves. God will change your story. But you need to understand that the program of God for your life is unique. It's unique, and you need to seek it out vigorously. You need to seek it out vigorously. The Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 7, the same exact thing happened to Daniel. Daniel was amongst people, and all of a sudden, Daniel says, and I, Daniel alone, saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Friends, what I'm telling you today is if people don't agree or understand with the vision that you have, don't lose your sleep. As long as the vision you have is a vision from God. If it's a vision from God, hold on to it. This church, the Redeemed Christian Church of God, when God showed the general overseer a vision to go to where we have as the redemption campsites today, Pastor Gloria has been there, it is a spectacle today. When he started going there, it was a jungle. He will go in the jungle and will be praying all day, all night. In fact, he told stories of how he couldn't afford to pay one, the denomination in Nigeria is a naira. One naira, let's say the equivalent of a dollar. He couldn't pay the toll, so he decided to stay longer on the campsite. Today, that campsite is a world headquarters for the church. People from all over the world come to that place. When he first shared the vision, everybody told him this is impossible. Because that freeway was known as the den of robbers. Say, how could you do this? But guess what? Today, every church denomination is having headquarters along the same spot. Friends, there is a vision of God for your life. You need to begin to pray and say, God, open my eyes of understanding that I may see what you want to accomplish with my life. You are not created as a mass product. Have you seen an assembly line before? They are just everything is exactly, in fact, anything that is not the same as the rest, they destroy it. You were not created off of an assembly line. There is a specific, unique vision that God has for your life. And it is very important that you seek it out. Look at your neighbor, say, seek it out. Seek it out. Jesus had a clear vision and understanding of why God sent him. That was why to go to the cross and die was not a problem for Jesus. You remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says, as he began to pray, he was sweating and drops of blood were coming on his face. And he cried unto the Father and said, if it is possible, let this cup pass over me. But then he said, no. Thy will be done. I know that for this very reason, I was born. For this very purpose, I came. I came to die to save the world. He understood the vision of God for his life. Friends, one of the reasons we have so many people in depression today is because they are frustrated with their lives. They don't know what next to do. They don't have a clue what the plan is for life. The routine of life will last you but for so long. After a while, you get tired of the routine of life. That's why you see people, they say, but everything was normal. He seemed fine. He seemed okay. But he just killed himself. No, nothing was okay. He just did not voice it out. But it is my prayer today that after today, your prayer, number one, will change. And number two, as your prayer changes, God will grant you your petitions in the name of Jesus. And as God grants you your petition, your life will be transformed in the mighty name of Jesus. Joseph had a dream. We know the story of Joseph very well. What I'm doing today is I want to try and lay a foundation, and then next week we will build on everything. Joseph had a dream. And he began to share his dream with his brothers that already hated him. And they looked at him. They said, you, God forbid it. And then he had yet another dream in line with his first dream. I'm standing in front of you and you're sleeping. Joseph had a second dream. And that dream was exactly in line with the first dream. And then he told his father. And the father said, shut your mouth. What are you saying? Are you saying I and your mother and your brothers will bow to you? That's exactly right. That's the plan of God for his life. That's exactly that. Don't be intimidated by the size of your vision. Don't be intimidated by the size of what God is speaking to you. He wants to accomplish through your life and by your life. Don't be intimidated, because where God is taking you is great. If indeed God is who he says he is, which we know he is a great and a mighty God, how can a great and a mighty God make a useless, no nonsense person? It's impossible. There's nothing that God has created that is without a purpose. I remember back in the day when I was in vet school, you know, and we're doing the nervous system. They told us that way back when they did not understand the purpose of the cerebellum, the part of the brain that is in the back over here, scientists used to call it back then the silent part of the brain, because they didn't know the function. He said that's the silent part of the brain. But you see, if that part of the brain is damaged, you lose coordination. That's when you begin to shake like this, because there's no fine coordination of muscle movement. But they didn't know. There is no creation of God that is without a purpose. God created you wonderfully, fearfully, beautifully. He created you for a specific purpose. Do not let anybody or any situation or circumstance tell you are irrelevant. I'm telling you the honest truth today. The fact that they disbelieved Joseph's dream did not change the dream. The fact that they don't believe your vision does not change the vision. The fact that they said, you, of all people, you, even the accent is terrible. Can't even put together a proper English sentence. They say all kinds of things about you, but friends, believe me, God is in control. Too many people, listen to me, too many people are circumstantial believers. So when the vision is working out, you believe in it. The moment it runs into problems, you say, maybe this is not what I really should be doing. That is why people have changed trade and changed professions and changed careers. Because when there's problems, this is the other thing that is moving market now. Let me go try this other thing. Let me go try that other thing. A lot of people went into IT because IT was making money. And when the IT bubble burst, everybody around were looking for the next best thing to do. Friends, there is a program for your life. There is a plan for your life. There is a purpose for your life. And that leads me to the next thing I want to talk about briefly this morning. Purpose. Purpose. Friends, a life without vision has no restraint. Isn't that what the scripture says? It says, the people that are without vision, they cast off restraint. Amen. A life that is without vision has no restraint and ultimately will lead and tend towards ruin. I destroy every hold of depression and frustration upon your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, may God open the eyes of your understanding to begin to see the visions of God in the name of Jesus. To have no vision will lead to depression. To have a vision that is unrealized will lead to frustration. Because you have an idea of what your life is supposed to be, but things are not working out. It might be strategy. It might be an information that you are missing. But whatever you are missing, whatever is the missing piece of the jigsaw puzzle of your life, the Lord will fill it in today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look, I will attempt to kind of quickly try to tie everything together so we can close for today. But listen to this. Talent. I know you have heard of talent before. Purpose, vision is all tied together. Talent, purpose and vision all tied together. The purpose of anything is the reason why that thing exists. You can use it for anything you want, but the purpose a thing exists is, the reason why a thing is created is the purpose of it. But in a lot of cases, things are not used for the real reason why they are created. Let me show you an illustration. Look at this. Look at this. How many people can see this? Over here in front, we have two speakers. This is the main speaker. This is the subwoofer speaker. This subwoofer we are using currently as a stand for this speaker. The purpose of this subwoofer is not a stand. If we don't hook this up and all we use it for is to prod this thing will never fulfill its maximum potential. This thing will never realize its maximum potential. A lot of people are doing well in what they are doing, but they are not living by the purpose for which they were created. For as long as you are not living by the purpose for which you were created, you will not maximize your potential. Potentials will never, ever be fully realized if it is not directed in the path of purpose. And your purpose is the engine that drives your vision. When your vision and your purpose do not align, there's a big problem. When your purpose aligns with your... Because listen to this. I can have a vision, Pastor Gloria. I can have a vision to write softwares. And I may be successful at writing softwares. But if that is not my purpose, if I achieved a 70% rating in making IT programs, the 30% remaining, I could have realized if I was working according to my purpose. Many people, because they are doing, in quote, doing well. Can you imagine? Let me use as an example also the general overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. He was a professor, a mathematics professor at the university, and he was doing well. He was very well on his way to the top when God arrested him. Amen. Can you imagine if he was a mathematics professor, by now he'll be retired. He would have written all the paper and publications he can write, and he'll be retired by now, forgotten. They'll be referring to, oh, we remember Professor Adeboye, he was a great professor. But look at him today. One of the reasons we have the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center is because he saw a vision. One of the reasons you and I were seated here today is because of his vision and his foresight to think that we must take this message to the uttermost parts of the earth. If he was a mathematics professor, he cannot influence us the way he's influencing us today. So the fact that you are seemingly doing well, please reconsider and ask yourself, God, what is my purpose in life? Purpose answers the question, why? Why am I here? Why did God create me? What is the reason why what am I here for? Purpose answers that question. And when you understand why you are here and you are able to visualize the path to why you are here, that is vision. Listen to this. When purpose and vision come together, listen to this. Your plans for life will change. You will stop planning from where you are to the future. You will begin to plan from the future to where you are. Two different things. Praise the Lord. A lot of people plan their lives from where they are to the future. So when they meet obstacles, they take a detour. There's a saying that water and people become crooked in life by following the path of least resistance. Every natural river, there is no natural river that takes a straight course.
Every natural river is twisted. You know why? Water is looking for where it's easy to flow through. Water will never flow to the top of the mountain. It will flow down. And once it meets a resistance, it detours. And then it detours. And then it detours. And the same thing with human being. Any human being that wants to live life by following the path of least resistance will live a crooked life. People will never be able to figure you out. I thought you were pursuing a degree in medicine. Say, yes, I was. Now I'm going to be a pharmacist. He said, okay, we pray with you. You will be a pharmacist in Jesus' name. And then as you are working on the pharmacy degree, all of a sudden, oh, I'm doing nursing now. Nursing? I said, everything, you know, everything is in the medical field. It's still the medical field. Oh, okay, so it's nursing. Okay. And then the next time they see, you say, oh, I am IT specialist. I work in the hospital. I say, why? Every time you follow the path of least resistance, their life will be crooked. So the question you must ask yourself as we begin to piece this together is, Lord, why am I here? Why am I here? When you follow the pattern of God, in Genesis chapter 1, God created the world. He created everything beautiful. And you will remember, you will recall that man was the last thing he created. And after he created man, he blessed man. And after blessing man, the first thing God did for man was to share his purpose with him. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. God told him, why you're here? This is why you're here. Genesis 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden. To what? To dress it and to keep it. Because where purpose is not known, abuse is imminent. When you don't know the purpose of a thing, you will for sure guarantee you will misuse it. That's why some people abuse their children, because they don't understand the purpose of children. That's why some people abuse their spouse, because they don't understand the purpose of a marriage relationship. That's why abuse, anytime purpose is not clearly stated, abuse is imminent. You will misuse that thing. You will abuse that thing. May you not abuse your life in the name of Jesus. May you not abuse your life in the name of Jesus. Anyone that is willfully destroying their lives, they are abusing that body. Your purpose in life is the very reason you were created. So what then is talent? Talent is your natural ability. Your natural aptitudes. The things that come to you easily. Praise the Lord. There are some of us that there are certain things you can do. Some people are just good with numbers. They don't need to. If I read a number, more than likely I can remember it without trying to memorize it. I'm just good with numbers like that. In fact, I still remember the internet code from the hotel and then from camp. The one in the hotel was 75402. The one in camp was BJX115. And I'm not even trying to remember. I'm just good with numbers like that. It just comes to me. You know, the natural thing for you to say is, Pastor, you should be an accountant. But you see, your talent, the purpose of your talent is to enhance your purpose. Your talent is not necessarily your purpose. Your talent is not the reason God created you. God gives us talent to enhance our journey of life. For some of us, the talent really might be where God is taking you. It is possible. It is possible, but not in all cases. So, for example, the fact that I can sing and I sing well does not mean my purpose in life is to be a singer. It could be that God is calling you into the ministry
to be a pastor,
because worship is an essential part of ministry.
Praise the Lord.
A lot of people confuse their talent with their purpose. I give you an example from scripture. Joseph was a dreamer.
Praise the Lord.
He dreamt. He saw the vision of God for his life. He was in prison. Those two guys dreamt. He interpreted their dreams for them. And then finally, Pharaoh had a dream that could not be interpreted. And Joseph came and interpreted the dream. That gave him access to his purpose. His purpose was to preserve posterity. His purpose was to save lives. Because God already made a covenant with Abraham. Said, your seed will fill the whole earth. If Joseph had not risen up to the task at that time, Israel would have been extinct. Because the whole world was hungry. There was no food anywhere. And then God will have become a liar. And God forbid it. God cannot be a liar. God cannot lie. So his purpose, God already knew and he orchestrated everything. And he gave him that talent to give him access to his purpose. So the vision that he saw is not for him to be a dream interpreter. Do you know, if it was in our day and age, Joseph would have started a ministry. The Alpha and Omega Dream Interpretation Ministry. Incorporated. Alpha and Omega Dream Interpretation Incorporated. Is everybody, if you have a dream, come, I interpret your dream for you. And then they now make that a ministry. That becomes his purpose in life. That is not the purpose. His purpose was not to be interpreted. After Pharaoh, there's no record that he interpreted dream for anybody else again. Why? Because he has entered into his place. He has entered into what talent God has given you. Don't confuse it with the purpose of God for your life. The fact that you have natural skills and abilities and tendencies does not mean that is your call in life. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. At the same time, it could just be. That is why there is a responsibility upon your life to seek the face of the Lord. And say, Lord, why am I here? What is my purpose? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? The fact that you have fun doing something does not mean that is your call in life. You should have fun in doing everything God has called you to do. He said, Jesus told the disciples, he said, before you have not prayed in my name, but now pray in my name and the Lord will grant you your petition so that your joy may be full in me. So, as far as Jesus is concerned, his purpose for your life is for your joy to be full. Every human being has giftings that is of God. The Bible says, as he ascended to heaven in Ephesians, he said he gave gifts unto men. He gave gifts unto men. He gave gifts. Everybody is gifted. Don't be covetous. Oh, how I wish I can sing like our sister Alexis. Okay. Remember that Asian guy that was in one of those shows? American Idol? That guy was terrible. What's his name? William Hung. Terrible. If I can sing better than him. He more of a comedian than anything else. And he became popular. He made millions from it. In fact, he made a movie. They put him in a movie too. Just for his foolishness. There was a comedian. A comedian said, I asked the fool for money. Why are you doing yours for free? Friends, everybody is gifted. So lift up your right hand to heaven. Say, Father, I thank you. Because I am gifted. I am extraordinary. In the name of Jesus.
Be excited about yourself. Celebrate yourself. Why? Because this awesome God cannot make a non-entity. It's impossible. It's totally impossible. If you don't know your giftings yet, you just don't know it just yet. Then go discover it. The Bible says, a man's gift shall make room for him. A man's gift will make room for him. He didn't say a man's gift will bring him into his calling. He didn't say a man's gift will be his calling, rather. There is a gift, at least one gift of God upon your life. There's nobody that is giftless. So my problem is I don't have any gift. You are just a liar. You have believed the lie of the devil concerning yourself. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'm beginning to round up now. In conclusion, I'd like to read a quote that I read credited to D.L. Moody. Said D.L. Moody's reported farewell words to his sons, as he lay upon his deathbed. This is what he said, and I quote, "If God be your partner, make your plans large. If God be your partner, make your plans large." I dare say that a lot of people are afraid of success. A lot of people cannot imagine themselves successful. When you think of the gentleman I gave his example earlier on, came to a service just like you came today, not knowing what to expect, but if you had any expectation, it was expectation of God bless me. And before he left, he wrote at least one check that we know of for $100,000. When you are praying to God, don't pray to God feeling like an underdog. Do I hear an amen? Because you are not. You are the son of God. You are the child of God. The child of the King. The child of the Most High God. Make big plans is what D.L. Moody said. And there was something else I read, and then we're going to pray. The title of this, they didn't put any name to it. It's a more beyond. More beyond. Listen to this. Spain once held both sides of the Mediterranean at the Straits of Gibraltar. How many of us know the Strait of Gibraltar? So there was once upon a time that both sides of it, Spain was reigning. So highly did she value her possession that she stamped on her coin the two pillars of Hercules. And on a scroll thrown over these were the words, "Ne plus ultra." Ne plus ultra, meaning no more beyond. Because they owned the Straits of Gibraltar into Spain, they did not believe that there was anything outside of the Straits. And they thought this was such a wonder. This is such a magnificent wonder. They put the pillars of Hercules, which is representing the mountains on both sides, the north and the south, they put the pillars on their coin. And they said, "Ne plus ultra." No more beyond. What they were saying is, beyond the Straits, there's no life there. This is where life is. On this side is where life is. And then somebody dared to sail beyond the Strait and found a new world better than Spain. When the person came and brought the report, Spain removed the name. So instead of "ne plus ultra," it became "plus ultra," meaning more beyond. There is more beyond where you are today.
there is a place God is taking you that is bigger, better, brighter, more glorious than where you are today. If you believe this, I want you to rise to your feet. Friends, before we pray, I will be deceiving you if I don't tell you this. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Listen to me. Listen carefully. Any man that discovers his purpose, why he was created, and lives by it, there is a great possibility he will be very successful in life. He doesn't have to be born again. Because that's the purpose why he was created. So the essence of everything I have told you is not for you to be a rich sinner. A rich sinner is like a dead lion. A living dog is better than a dead lion. Praise the Lord. Bow your heads. Bow your heads. God can do all things. There is no impossibility with God. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, it said, the eyes of the Lord are not blind, that is not able to see. His arms are not short, that is not able to deliver. His ears are not heavy, that is not able to hear you. He said, but your sins have separated you from God. Isaiah 55. Peradventure, there is sin in your life today. You say, Pastor, I've heard everything you have to say. I'm excited that God has a purpose for my life. I'm excited at the visions of God that I'm going to begin to see. But I don't want to be a rich sinner going to hell. I want to be a pilgrim on my way back home where I came from, heaven. So if you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an invitation. Or maybe you know Jesus, but unfortunately, if he comes today, he has no part in you and you have no part in him. Say, Lord, I want to fix this, and I want to fix it right now. I want you to raise your hand, just wave to heaven. I want to pray with you. I'd like to pray with you. Any such person in the house? None. Praise the Lord. I want you to pray, because I believe very strongly, and this is based on scripture, after God created man, the first thing he did was he blessed them. The blessing. He blessed them. He pronounced a blessing upon them. Open your Bibles with me. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11 and verse 11. Somebody say the blessing. The blessing of the Lord is your portion. The blessing of the Lord is my portion. In the name of Jesus. The blessing of the Lord exalts and elevates. The blessing of God upon your life will take you from where you are right now and take you to where you need to be. In the name of Jesus. At least one person caught that. Proverbs 11 and verse 11. Proverbs 11 and verse 11. It says, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. There's a two-part prayer for you there. The first prayer point you are going to pray is, Father. Please say it like you may say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let your blessing upon my life elevate me, promote me in the name of Jesus. Why don't you go ahead and pray? God wants to promote you, and his blessing is already upon your life. The Bible says the blessing of the upright exalts the city. This city shall be exalted by your blessing, and your family, your business, your marriage, your children, everything that has to do with you shall be exalted by the blessing of God upon your life. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus,
My finances, oh Lord, my finances, oh Lord, let there be upward mobility. Let there be upward mobility because of the blessing. Because of the blessing. In the name of Jesus, the Bible says the blessings of the Lord make it rich. The blessing of the Lord make it rich. In the name of Jesus, Lord, make me rich by your blessing. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. The second part of that scripture says, even though the city is exalted by the blessing of the righteous. Listen to this. It says, but. Somebody say, but. But is an exception. It's usually not a good thing. Say, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Listen to this. It means when the blessing has been working for you and orchestrating events for you, then the wicked begins to say bad things about you, about that gift, that talent that God has given you, that thing that is supposed to be producing for you. They begin to speak evil about it. And as they are speaking evil about it, the uplifting begins to go down. The uplifting begins to depreciate. I want you to say and pray and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, shut the mouth of the wicked. In the name of Jesus, concerning my destiny, concerning my purpose, concerning my gift, concerning my talent, Lord, shut the mouth of the wicked. In the name of Jesus, as the lion could not devour Daniel, Lord, let the mouth of the wicked not be able to stop my blessing. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Jehovah. We give you praise. We give you glory in the name of Jesus. Finally, you are going to pray and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes, O Lord, that I may see the things that you are showing me, that I may see the things that you are revealing to me. In the name of Jesus, the eye of my spirit, let it be opened. The eye of understanding, let it be opened. In the name of Jesus, open my eyes, O Lord. Open my eyes, O Lord, that I may see visions of you. In the name of Jesus, Le Catalia Bacusto Predia Radada. We thank you, mighty God. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Jehovah, I give you praise. I thank you for your word. Lord, I have delivered it as you have given it unto me. Lord, I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, you will continue to expound your words in every heart. Lord, beyond what I have said, Lord, minister to the hearts of your people in the name of Jesus. Lord, that we may begin from today to live purposefully. In the name of Jesus. To live by the vision of God for our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. For in Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Next week, as we round up, we'll talk about